Good morning. Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Ron Fruitt. It's a pleasure to have Ken Thede in our studios today. He is here representing the Richland County Historical Society. And it's great to begin a new year looking back and looking ahead and just talking about some of the things and why history is so incredibly important. Ken, as always, welcome to the program. Happy New Year to you and every member of the Historical Society.
Happy New Year to you too, Ron. It is great. The year in review was awesome. I listened to it and I know the Richland Observer does it as well. And so those are just to reflect back on the year. Isn't it true, too? We always, when we turn over a new year, we always reflect back on the last year and who passed away, what were some of the historical moments, and we always talk about history was being made.
But it's interesting that how much we can forget even in a year's time, let alone a decade or a century.
I'm guilty of that. I was reading the State Journal, which is a little thinner than it used to be, but the people who had passed away, the notable people, and I actually had, I didn't know that, you know, obviously Hank Aaron, you'd say, I remember that, but Tommy Lasorda, I didn't remember Tommy Lasorda passed away. So you start catching history. Marky Post, I loved Marky Post on Night Court, but I forgot she passed away. And too true, you and I both, we're getting a little older, and as we get older, more familiar people to us, or maybe a wider variety of people, we start keeping track of what event happened and when did it happen. I remember that event. Where were you when that event happened? And we can say that for the last year and for the last 20 years, and we can go back 100 years too.
When did you decide that teaching history, you know, being an educator would be your future?
I was very fortunate at Riverdale to have some great teachers. I could go through the list. And I think everybody can relate to at least one teacher sometime through their career that really had an impact on them. But I had several. I really have to give credit to three if I could be very candid. Elizabeth Smith in sixth grade really touched a nerve that at that time I wanted to go into teaching. At the high school, two men I have a tremendous respect for, Bob Meller, who now lives in Finnemore, but many will know Bob Meller from wrestling. Bob Meller was an outstanding Phi-Ed teacher. He taught us life skills. You know, he didn't just roll the ball out and say, play. We did a lot of things, and it was very impressionable. I would have played volleyball for him if they had guys volleyball. In the same token, Julius Ward, I can't tell you how much he influenced me. But there's teachers still there. His wife, Joyce, Mrs. Arneson, Mrs. Johnson. I could go through the list of the teachers that really had an influence. And from that point on, I knew I wanted to be a teacher.
So why not elementary? Why not physical education? Why not math?
I would have became a math teacher, but trigonometry got me. I really struggled with trig. Same thing with science. I loved history. History came natural to me. And I think sometimes you find your vocation. It's not work. You find your vocation in something you love and something you enjoy. And I was just talking with your staff earlier. How many people have said to me, you know, in high school, I really didn't like history that much, but now I'm watching the History Channel. Jeremy Larson's listening. I hope he is, because we were talking history and a former student, and he works at Foggy Bottom Woodworks, and we'll go trivia. We'll talk with each other about trivial things, but isn't that part of the discussion? Do you remember back when? And I think that's part of it, but true to find a love for history, a love for learning. The campus does a nice job with that, where you can revisit it. And I think we're always learning. We're always learning things, and we're learning from the past. Somebody said, why do you have history with English, science, and math? Well, if you don't learn from the past, you're destined to repeat it. And I really think that's a part of why so many people go to history and they enjoy history and they get back to history. And so that for me was really a love.
Is the most challenging thing for a history teacher, Ken, to engage students and let them know as high school students that history is important to them?
You know, I think that's an excellent question. And here's why. Everybody has a special spark, a special interest. And I think if you can get them to bite on, and it's not just in history, but it's the same thing in English, it's the same thing in science and math, if you can get them to bite on, they're going to even engage further than you were expecting them to, where they take the initiative. You provide the channel for learning. You provide the direction. And do we have to do this? No, we don't, but it's necessary for the grade. In the same token, where all of a sudden they'll come in to your classroom and they'll start talking about yesterday's lesson, or I looked this up, right? You know, they're now becoming, you know, the learner by just doing that.
But history plays a part in every other academic subject. When we look at English or writing, or we look at math, you know, where did these come from? Science. History is an integral part of all of those.
Agreed. And that's where, with the four main core, you talk cross-curriculum. We can talk learning. And I give a lot of credit to my peers when I was there, where we really looked to use cross-curriculum. All of a sudden, they're doing All Quiet on the Western Front in English, and we're covering World War I history. And we can really tie in the two. Dan Bumkamp's books brings in a lot of good history. Yes, they're fiction, but there's a lot of nonfiction in it. You know, the hidden treasure of Bogus Bluff. We need to have that history as a part of it. And you know, I think, too, we need to look at more in education as we go forward, where we can not just say, well, for academia, we're going to say, you know, the student that's accelerated, but we need to come up with vocational history. We need to come up with history that will tie into the workplace, because all of a sudden we can now engage even more learning and be far more productive in what we teach, too.
If you were going to college today and beginning your career anew, would the curriculum be considerably different, given the fact that history has changed and years have been added, or would your course of study be similar?
Well, now I got to go back to Dr. Bauer and at the campus. The unique side of it, I did 2 years at the campus, and then I did Stevens Point, and I had a professor by the name of Frank Crowe. Both of them were outstanding professors. And if I were still in their classroom today, I firmly believe I would be learning the same things. Maybe not in the same way, but I would be learning the same things. And I think the message I would convey with Dr. Bauer in his classroom, I was guilty far more often of not taking my notes and becoming engaged in his lecture and what he was having us learn. And, I better get that down type, because the learning, you became engulfed in it. And I think if you talk about curriculum today, I think if you talk about curriculum going forward, the 21st century, you know, it's not all about computers. Computers are a great access. Technology, if it's used correctly, is very beneficial. But Family Circus in Sunday's paper had where, no, we don't need any engaging here other than just reading the newspaper or reading. Because reading is where we learn. And I think if you talk to most primary teachers, even into the intermediate level, those kids in pre-K, the parents that have read to them and that they get the students reading, that learning is measurable as we go into the future. It's never too late. And it's funny how I think we need to reevaluate how we're teaching. I think we need to reevaluate. We don't need to change the curriculum. That's there. Obviously, we need to be progressive. But I really think for teaching right now and education as a whole, boy, I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you. I'm concerned because not just COVID, but the real learning that's taking place. We still need to be engaged and active in learning.
As a history, one who's interested in history, are you concerned that today we're not maybe documenting history, you know, with all the different sources of information that we are exposed to and its accuracy?
I appreciate the question. I'm going to take it a little bit differently if I could. I'm concerned about the history that's being lost. It's so alarming to me. I will tell you, I if you were to walk into my classroom, I was accused of being a hoarder. We've thrown
justly.
Very, very justly. I will agree wholeheartedly. But how much have we thrown out? I go back to Carletta Heidi, and I know she was a good friend of yours, a close friend of yours. And if you walked into her house, she had one room with just file cabinets, and it was loaded with history. And God bless Carletta. The amount of history we've thrown out. landfills are worth millions right now because people have no idea the value of the antiquity of what's there. So now to your question, I really think we need to do a better job of documenting our history. We need to do a better job in a variety of different ways. I think we need to not only make sure we have it backed up and scanned, and I really think we need to assess it. If you go to early history, it's oral. Very little was actually from what was written down. That's minuscule compared to the history that was lost, never recorded, or forgotten. And so when you ask that question, that's so spot on, Ron. We need to do a better job of documenting our history in a variety of different ways.
Have things like Ancestry.com and other online sources maybe inspired some people to think about their own family history?
I appreciate that. Inspired is good. Be cautious with Ancestry.com. It's misleading. We can easily take for granted that, oh, it's just there and we'll go for it. You really got to research it. Former students of mine will remember a timeline project. 25 events in history over the course of 500 years, 5 segments in each. And it was laborious. And I know students dreaded it. But what they learned was really researching and documenting and finding out the accuracy. Teachers today will tell you, you can go to Wikipedia. Great place to get ideas. But if you're going to really do the history, make sure it's accurate. Wikipedia is not an accurate source. It's easily accessible. We're too eager to go to Google. And forgive me, with your trivia, and you folks do an outstanding job with trivia, I don't use Google. I use what my memory's there. So if I call in 2 or 3 times, I'm not guessing. It's like Trivial Pursuit. I'm trying to give a legitimate answer. And so it's recall. And students will accuse me of memorizing the book and page numbers. And you have what was probably a part of history, but we don't really measure it as history. Every day, history is being made. I think, and you'd have to agree, if you remember back to high school, probably Jim Elwell or Jim Shriver, how am I doing? Ted Wheelock was there, Doug Siftestead. When you took those history classes, you were not as engaged because you had a textbook. And now today, as you do your research and as you go through things, you really look at the sources of what you're using. And technology, again, great, but make sure you check out the source. So with Ancestry.com, and I think I'm up to now about 27 pages of Ancestry. And I used my aunt's research, and she really got the whole ball rolling. But then one fed to another, led to another contact, and the horizons broadened. So if you really want to do a family history, and I would encourage everyone to do a family history, not only births and deaths and marriages, what you also need to do is really check into that cultural side. We were talking earlier about the Germans coming to Richland County and the diversity of what's in the area in Iowa County, Grant County. I think when you do your research, your family research, if you're truly doing it just to get started, get in touch with some people that you know have connections. Maybe it was a family Bible that has the recording on the inside cover. Tell me you can't reflect back on that. A lot of it is getting more people to buy into it, and then you're going to feed off that family history. And I think that might be where we could go for just a general challenge to everyone, is try to get down that family history to share with your children and your grandchildren. And right now, they don't really care that much about it, but they will. And the more that they become involved in it, they're going to become much more appreciative. They're going to value their heritage. The culture and heritage is what we're all about. That's what makes us. And so I think we need to do more of that.
But I think you mentioned Carletta Heidi. We think about Margaret Scott.
Oh, yes.
Her incredible impact.
Halsey Reinhardt. The list could go on and on. I think George Seifert, if you want to go way back, you know, recording from Gotham, Wisconsin, when it was Richland City. We can value far more the history that someone else has done for us. But if we do the research ourselves, when you mention a Margaret Helen Scott, who was a lifelong learner, a teacher, a librarian, but then she also valued the importance of history. And from her first book, which was a Richland Center, a history, to her last one on Frank Lloyd Wright, which still today is one of the more accurate books because of the documentation she did. There's probably 20 pages of documentation of where she found her source. Just in the Achy Breaky newsletter, the lead article Jerry Bauer has always done, and his documentation is outstanding. It's unquestioned. It's so creditable. And I said he's got to keep writing those lead articles because I enjoy reading them. You know, when I get them, that's the first thing I do is read them, not to critique them. I'm enthused to pick up a little history. I think that becomes important to our learning, too.
And so then we slide right into the Richland County Historical Society, because every aspect that we've talked about so far, every goal as a teacher, every goal as a community, every goal as a family, is really embodied in the mission of the Richland County Historical Society.
Simple line, promoting the history of Richland County. And so that's why I'm here today. I'm glad to come in anytime you'd need somebody on the morning show. I have no problem talking history, and I enjoy talking it with you, so that's great.
The Historical Society is an incredibly valuable resource, isn't it?
It is, and it's one of those gems that's really untouched as far as so many people are not aware of it. You know, you mentioned the Achy School. Right now, too, there's a lot more interest in rural schools. I don't know if you've picked up on that, but you know, the ones that have been made into homes, the ones that are still standing, but, you know, they're not really being used for something, the ones that have been tore down. The one that's now brought up and it's on my list is the Pine River School, just across from a Quick Trip down here by Dairy Queen. The Historical Society is a venue that so many people could access.
And you would be stronger if we did.
Yes, sir, we would. My goal is to increase membership, and I've been promoting that for many years, trying to come up with different gimmicks, and the guys on the board of directors put up with me, but I come up with a new idea. Well, let's try this, you know, and it brings some more people on, and just the support financially keeps us going, not only with the newsletter, not only with the school, but it really keeps the history going. And I think you would attest to, just from your business here, the value of having that Historical Society as an access. But it's not unlike just genuinely for tourism in Richland County, how we can tie in a lot of the history, not just the Achy School, but we can tie in a lot of the history to the county. That's why people are coming here, because of the scenic beauty, because of Elephant Trunk Rock. You know, it's not just the Mayan Temple downtown, which is a great resource that we still haven't touched. And thanking the people that are on the board and the conservancy. And now we're hearing a lot with the auditorium, and that's coming into play. And that's wonderful. I'm so appreciative of the fact that we're keeping those buildings. The one that was lost was the Carnegie Library. It'll never be replaced. Right across from Park Street Christian Church, it's a parking lot now. But we lost a lot of history. There's some that you can't save. The Kennedy Building probably wasn't salvageable. It needed to be raised. But we're losing a lot of really valuable history. And so I think for the Historical Society, we're looking at keeping that history around, and I spurn on the directors, and I appreciate all of them that are on the board. They tolerate me, that we need to keep that going. So the membership is a part of that, yeah.
I think of the Historical Society as being an outstanding asset for our community. And at that same breath, I think of the Richland County History Room at the Brewer Public Library. And what made me think of it, I shouldn't have forgot it, but when you said people coming here, it has been a destination for people literally all over the world.
It agreed. And Margaret Helen Scott goes back to that connection. So, you know, when you talk about her in retirement, she came back to Richland Center, born here, left, was in the South for a long time, came back to Richland Center to retire here. But she worked at the Brewer Public Library. And the two places you really go to for history is the library and the church. If you want to do the ancestry.com, especially back to Europe, the church records are where they are. We at St. Peter's Lutheran in Muscatine did our 150th on 151. But you would be in awe if you saw the history that I discovered or came across in just going through those file cabinets at the Brewer, and thank them for the one that people are not accessing enough. The digital history of Richland Center and Richland County is outstanding. You can click through those pictures and there's history in every one of them. And the digital history, sometimes pictures speak 1,000 words. Well, if you don't care to read that much, why not go to the digital history and catch what they're doing? And the project with Professor Zarea at the campus, getting a recorded history. We talk about World War II and they're dying and they're passing away. The veterans programs that are really valuable. The Brewer Library with the Richland County History Room is not unique to others. What's unique is the information that's there and the amount of records that they've kept. And if you've never been to the library, go there. If you haven't been upstairs to the History Room, just go there just to see what's there. And I guarantee you, you'll go back because there's so much history just in that room that we can't tap it all. We need to go in there with obviously a mission. Maybe it's to look up a family history.
But we also, I think, have to give a tip of the hat to those who've curated that room and documented and cataloged. Their work has been invaluable.
And I could, without naming names, give you several that both have been involved with the Historical Society, you know, Twyla Kepler, for example, and those that have worked at the library to maintain it and to continually add to it and find ways. You're not that old that you wouldn't remember microfilm. You remember right. Going mm-hmm. to that dish and having that. And just now what we can put on a little JPEG, you know, to record that history. But in the same token, walk into that room and there's a history experience. Just as you look around the room, you're going to see so many things that will intrigue you. And what's that? And there's a story with it and the history that ties into it. Isn't that why we go to a museum? Isn't that why we enjoy making part of our tourist stops? You know, who would have understood that Elephant Trunk Rock actually had to have the base built back up because somebody drove into it and knocked it off? If you go there now and look, there's actually some brick underneath it. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. And some of the untapped history, like how many people have really talked about the Hub City Bog? And yet Professor Hershey, I still remember a field trip going there with him, maybe jokingly, maybe tongue in cheek, but he said, watch where you step because you could go down 100 feet. You know, all of a sudden, tell me you wouldn't look down and think, okay, where am I standing? What am I doing? But you remember those things. And so that's part of the enjoyment of history, too. The Brewer Library really needs to be commended for what not only they maintain, but what they continue to add to it.
Ken Thede is our guest on the morning show today on WRCO Radio. He is the president of the Richland County Historical Society. Maybe we'll take a break. When we come back, we can kind of recap your year, but maybe talk a little bit about the history of the Historical Society and whatever else we have. Plus, we have some good news to share with you today as well on our morning show from WRCO FM. Happy New Year to you and yours from all of us at WRCO Radio and the Morning Show, where it's a pleasure to have Ken Thede on the show today. Ken is here today as the president of the Richland County Historical Society. Does every county have a historical society, and is there ever a time when those counties get together?
That's an excellent question. First of all, I'm going to start with Southwest Wisconsin. With all the adjoining counties, they have their historical societies. One of my goals for 2022. And I've really been on it the last year and a half. And credit to Barb Pauls, who lives in Green Bay, but still has that direct connection. And she is our webmaster. And she's more than willing. I just haven't got the information to her on our website. What we want to add as one of the icons is the history context, both local, because Boaz has their historical society, Lone Rock has their historical society, and many people are not aware of that. But to also have that, so it's an easy access. Here's where I can go. I know I can find the information for Iowa County. To my knowledge, most, I can't say all, most counties have a historical society, but the historical society might be in a variety of different ways. The one in Vernon County is a full building, and as you drive by it, you'll be in awe. The one in Iowa County, I've been to several times. Just in Grant County, you have Lancaster, you have Platteville, you have the university there, and they have a strong genealogy society. In fact, I'd tell you that for Grant County, I think what I've experienced, the genealogy society is one to be marked, that we could in our counties and surrounding area do a better job of the genealogy as well, and that ties back to the history. I think the historical societies in a variety of different ways are maintained. And I think there's a new or a renewed interest in history.
How did our historical society get started?
Excellent question. I do. And it's at the Aiki School. There's a nice binder with pictures. The simple history to that is it was a part of the Bicentennial Project. What a great way to restore an old schoolhouse. And that gives the history to the Aiki School. Now, the Historical Society had been there with some of the teachers in the area. What we have is a real founding time in 1976. The Historical Society had been there. It had a background to it. But you can go back to that building and the development of the Aiki School when really the history was spurned on. Al Schaefer would be in that list. Judge Houck would be in that list. And the people that played a role, and again, I don't want to name names to leave someone off, but that historical movement, if you will, of the Bicentennial. And what are you going to do for a project? Well, let's restore the schoolhouse. And the Pauls family for providing that opportunity, and now the Parks Commission, and thanking them for maintaining that, and the members on the board for recognizing the value of that building in and of itself. It's a little gem tucked away on County TB, but that's where the Historical Society really got its movement from.
Did it exist before the Bicentennial?
It did, and you can go back, although again, the Historical Society in and of itself doesn't have as rich a history prior to that. And I think as you go forward, and I would hope I could use just our newsletter as another way of conveying the society and a membership to it. Your membership is doing more than just getting a newsletter. You know, you're providing that support for the future of the history in Richland County. It's not just maintaining it, but so many things are now available and different ways we can access the history as well. There's also venues for the history. So the history, when you talk about its founding itself, I don't have a date on that, but I can give you that 1976 with the Aiki School really was that push for a historical movement in Richland County.
But then we think how that becomes an asset. And I think I'm right in saying this. When Jerry Apps did the rural school history, he came here and Aiki really had a starring role in part of that.
Absolutely. And the fact that the building was there, it's been used in other venues as well. So Jerry Apps is just one example. And I can give you right now just two or three off the top of my head of where we've been contacted to use the building because of its authenticity. You walk in the building, and through generous donations, we actually have it looking like a museum. It's not just an old schoolhouse. But the fact that the schoolhouse does exist and the relics that are in there, you could have a one-room school. And to have students from around the area come there in the spring, that's a field trip for them. And they sit in the desks, and you can really bring in the recitation bench up front, the globe that drops down, the pictures of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And all of a sudden, people will come in of different generations. And it's interesting to find those that are now retired, but they talk about their one-room school experience. Wasn't the same building, but the building itself is the venue. It was what was inside that building, what became a part of it. And they will tell you stories. And sometimes you're just in awe of the stories and the recall that takes place by walking in that building.
I think it's interesting because I think the Historical Society and the Aiken School have been the recipients of wonderful donations, but you've also been financially supported by those who believe what you're doing is critically important.
Oh, that those words really are valuable, Ron. We can never thank enough. We're always accepting donations. We'll willingly, but there's no charge for admission to go into the building. If ever people wanted to make, a contact, it's free admission. And it's interesting, the people that'll come back. It's like watching a movie a second time. You know, you go back because I want to go back. And the support that we receive provides more opportunities for the county, for the history in the area to exist.
I think it's interesting, too, because we think about that being a destination, but you have said on a Sunday afternoon, you can have people from a wide area that will make the trip to come.
It's interesting when we look at the register, and thank you for your support, because they'll say they were listening to it on the radio and they thought they'd drive by, or they heard it and they said they would make plans to go there. Those are things that are really a part of it. Those little tidbits where they're spurned on simply by there's a connection, a click. Oh, let's stop by there. You know, whether you stop by for 15 minutes or 2 hours, you know, the idea of just stopping by. And isn't it true, especially in the summer, because we're open those summer months, a great summer drive. And all of a sudden you get on county TV, and that's what we used to do back in the day, is go out for a Sunday drive. Tell me you don't remember that.
Oh, I remember
check up on the neighbors, you know, it's really. But in the same token, you look over and you'd say, oh, that building really looks beautiful there. Or isn't that field and that meadow gorgeous? You know, so that rural drive is a part of rustic roads. You know, there you go with some more history that ties into it.
If someone said, I am certainly supportive of what the Historical Society is doing, and I think its work is important, as a member, what would I be called to do? How can I be supportive of the Richland County Historical Society?
That's a great question, too. Very simply, you know, a financial donation. A membership is just $10. If you want to become a lifetime member, it's $100. The idea of we're bringing in businesses, and we really haven't pushed that yet, but we came up with the idea prior to COVID, and some businesses have joined on, but we haven't really pushed that venue. We're looking at more things. A financial donation is a simple way of doing it. Certainly just by taking a part in history is valuable. So with the board of directors right now, you know, if you're interested in helping out, a simple contact to us is a great way to do it. By the way, we'll be also adding this spring, I have it on my list, Gmail address, you know, just so you can use a computer to access it. You go to our website, you get the information. When I talk about updating and upgrading, Barb Pauls is very receptive to doing that, and it becomes much more active. She makes sure the newsletters are always put onto the website. I think that was one of the problems with a website, if I could digress for just a second, is we create a website, but we don't update it. We don't make it accessible. And I think we need to continue with the number of people, especially from a COVID time, where they're just on their computers. They're checking things out by clicking on something and searching, if you will. So I think we need to do more things to make that more prominent, accessible. You can do the virtual tour of the Aiken School right on the website. Again, credit to Barb, but we've got the pictures there where you can see everything that's there. But if you come in and experience it yourself, whether it be intergenerational with the grandparents bringing their grandchildren to it, that that's a way that history is continuing. And that is the mission of the Historical Society, is to promote history in Richland County. Financial donations are always welcome and appreciated.
That puts me on the newsletter mailing list, doesn't it?
It does. We're up to 3 a year. It's now a 10-page document. It's a way of touching history, that all of a sudden now you have another way of finding out a little bit more what's out there, what's available. But it gives you other things too. Your membership does so much more than just a dollar donation. And the newsletter is one of our perks, if I could say that. And who'd say now it would be 14 years? Dr. Bauer, if he's listening, you know, he said, do you think we can keep this going for 2 or 3 years? I said, well, let's keep it going till we run out of stuff. And it went from one sheet, 4 pages to, okay, we had inserts, 6 pages, then it was 8 pages, and now we're doing 3 issues a year instead of just 2. Those are little steps, but when you think about it, to continue that, Dr. Bauer and I would tell you, when we first started the newsletter 14 years ago, we didn't know what to expect, and now that newsletter's there, and it's a perk for the members. But the membership is far more than just that.
We'll take another break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Ken Thede is our guest, the president of the Richland County Historical Society.
Happy New Year from all of us at the Creative Outlet. This new year is bringing big changes to our store. As we move forward with our relocation plans, I encourage all crafters and consigners to check out our store Facebook page for updates on information for picking up your items and monies due. I am humbled by the outpouring of support and encouragement that I have received from all of my friends that have treated me like family, and I thank the community for its ongoing support. This is Heather at the Creative Outlet, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
The half price sale continues in Mr. G's in Richland Center in Viroqua. Buy any item at the regular or sale price and get a second item of equal value or less at half price. Special orders and layaways not included. The half price sale at Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing Richland Center and Viroqua. Hurry in, sale ends this Sunday.
Choose Mr. G.
Hope you're enjoying the morning show today. And even more, maybe you can make one of your commitments for the new year or a New Year's resolution to be supportive of the Richland County Historical Society. The Society's president, Ken Thede, is our guest on the program today. Giving people, granted, there will always have something to look at from a historical perspective, but giving people new ways to see things, maybe new projects, maybe somebody's been to the Yankee School several times and they're thinking, you know, what else can I do? Those are the kinds of questions that you and the board are asking yourselves.
Absolutely. And I'll take that even a step further. You know, it's funny when you just get in conversation with someone and it spurns a little tidbit. The one complimentary to your clips over the holidays, I can easily tell you 2 dozen people have caught me and said, you know, we had one of those nut dishes on our table with the nutcrackers, and I never understood why the picks were there. And we had different nuts, so we had you know, more than just hickory nuts and walnuts, you know. And I said, yeah. And the people that caught me and said, you know, I didn't understand why Mom and Dad didn't wrap our presents when we were younger. But they didn't have wrapping paper. So part of the joy of Christmas morning was to run downstairs and look at what's under the tree. And if you had siblings, you were worried about whose is this and whose is this without a name on the package, or as it would be, maybe they were wrapped in newspaper. But I got to be honest with you, and Rick Tisdale reminded me of this yesterday. Maybe they didn't use the newspaper for wrapping. They used it for other purposes in that time period of generation. So,
no further details necessary.
If you were from that era, you would understand what I'm saying, and you probably rubbed that newspaper to soften it up a little bit so that it was more accessible. I think that becomes part of just the conversation And then all of a sudden it strikes a memory, and that memory you want to share. And that's, we need to do more of that. We need to do more of reflecting back, because the reflection back also promotes everything we're doing in the future. And the stories that tie together are so invaluable. I appreciate that very much.
Do you have some special plans for the new year?
Excellent question. Obviously there's a to-do list. And yes, looking at a Gmail address, we'll be on updating the website through the support of the Parks Board, and went through them and the Board of Directors, and thanking Jerry Bauer and Nick Stanichka and Paul Wertzman and Jay Buchanan Miller and Rob Bender. What we're looking at doing is creating an agricultural site out at the Aiki School. And the plans are to put down some gravel and some railroad ties. And I would liken it to what is in Cassville with their Ag Museum. Of course, it's obviously a historical site for the state, but bringing in some machinery, putting up some signage. So we've got the area there. And the question was, well, why would you have an agricultural site at the Aiki School? That's a direct tie to early education. I mean, if there is anything in Richland County that's a direct tie, it's agriculture. You can talk about the early lumbering on the Pine River and why Rockbridge was so important. With the agricultural exhibit, we've got some old machinery out there. And if you come to the museum and you take a walk or drive by, because you'll be able to, all of a sudden you start seeing the plow, the harrow, the machinery that would be relics. And my concern is not getting it started. It's where do we stop? Because I think that could be ongoing and a part of it. So my mission this spring will be to get that kind of laid out and a part of it. The agricultural history site will be, it would be directly east of the building. It would be hopefully one that could be added to. And we'll be looking for, and possibly in the spring I'll be coming back and maybe looking for some people that would be interested in donating. They've got it out in the yard, or it's back behind the buildings in the weeds. Getting some old relics from the early 1900s through the mid-1900s. And then what we're going to do is put signage to it with a brief history on it of the use of that agricultural relic, because I think when we start looking at that, the modernization with farming and corporate farming is just totally, it's just exploded. And the idea of that rural farmer that maybe milked 15 or 20 cows, that had 50 tillable acres, and they not only survived, that was their livelihood, and that's what they did. And so for Richland County, looking to add that will be on our bullseye, if you will, for a board for this summer.
I think it's interesting, because let me give you an example and see if you don't agree. If in this display you have a horse-drawn sycamore and I see it, I'll enjoy looking at it, but I'll be reminded of my Grandpa Smith, who had one of those, and I'll be able to see him, and my mind will go back to where that was set and getting on it and mowing thistles in the pasture, and all of a sudden, history has become alive. Nothing terribly significant, but significant to me.
I think it's terribly significant, and even more so, it snowballs. You just rolled with it right there. And as I shared with one of the directors last night in a text message, it's kind of like that farmer pushing a round bale. It's going to roll. And once it gets rolling, it's used by Mr. John Bosworth at the high school for students. It's true. And not only that sycamore, if I could, again, digress just to a picture that you took, I think is just outstanding. And you're very involved with the Young Farmers Program, and compliments to you for that, and the radio station and its support of the farm women and everything that's involved with it. But you know exactly where I'm going with this, where there was an Amish farmer on that sycamore. And in this very same picture, just across the fence row, was a large combine going down the field. And to have that picture, just there was so many things that could come from that picture, seeing the horse-drawn sycamore and the combine that was directly across the fence, And you kind of just take a moment to say, wow, there's history spread across how many generations that sycamore cutting thistles, or maybe it might just be a sigh that you went out and tell me it didn't happen to you, but there was always weeds to be cut. My dad would always say there's some burdock out in the pasture and the nettles had to be cut. Tell me you didn't remember that. And if you're listening, tell me if you lived on a farm, that wasn't part of the daily life of that was something that you appreciated, and I think we missed out on something by not getting to experience that, or if we did, we didn't get to experience it long enough.
That'll be fun. We'll stay tuned and be excited when that opportunity comes.
Thank you.
Final question, or maybe next to last. I am amazed by some people, and I won't mention names, whose ability to recall dates and people and places blows me away. I mean, they're a living history book, Ken. I mean, they're interesting to talk to. They engage people. You know, what is it, their gift? You know, why are some people so capable and the rest of us are not?
I can't even see the rest of you. And it's funny because I had a good friend to me 2 days ago. She said, I can't remember what happened on Friday, let alone, you know, 20 years ago. I think, and tell me this isn't true, as soon as you start talking with those people, you start thinking the same thing and your recall does come about. And yes, it is a gift to remember things, but even more so, I'm going to say everyone all of a sudden has a flashback. Doesn't that flashback take place? And it may not be the same thing, but because you're talking with that person, and that's why I enjoy talking with people, you get flashbacks of your own, and those flashbacks are so invaluable. Maybe we should write them down because we'll forget them too soon, but you start thinking about that, and one will lead to another, and there's that snowball effect that takes place. And so, yes, there are those people that have that recall, but in the same token, the recall spurns those ideas. And so you say, well, I can't remember what happened 2 days ago, let alone 20 years ago. Yeah, you do. You really do. You just have to become involved in it. There are some people who can recall dates and places and names. And I got to give credit to my dad here because as I'm getting older, I'd say to him, you know, I'm getting older. And he'd say, well, wait till you get to be my age. And I said, I hope I get to be your age because he's 97 and still around and still very important to me. And when I talk with my mom and dad, and we just talk family history, because I'm going to go from here and go there. And what I'm going to do when I get there is I'm going to be asking questions. I was in the milk house this morning, and all of a sudden I walk in the milk house on a regular basis. I see a KT carved in one of the door jams. So you know what my question is going to be to my dad when I get there is, why was that KT carved there? Did you play a role in the building of it? Or maybe when you were a young boy, did you? You know, those things all of a sudden. And I hope, because I've said that some people out there will flash back to maybe they did something with in a room on a door jam marking the height of a child. You remember those things, and those will never be erased. Those are there for eternity. I heard it was with Phil on one of his interviews how one of the entertainers wanted to go back to her roots. She wanted to go back to the houses that she had lived in. She'd knock on a door and she'd ask to walk through the house again just to revisit memories of that house and of that home, and how those were a part of growing up. And we as much as we want to get away, sometimes we want to get back to our roots too.
Well, I think of the Pleasant Ridge Church in Willow Township that has been beautifully restored, where my grandparents attended and took me when I was a boy. And so you walk in and you think, I remember we were sitting there. And so some of those opportunities, I think the Yankee School is similar to that. Maybe we didn't attend Yankee, but no. There is some part of what the Richland County Historical Society has put together that will take us back. It's almost like stepping in a time machine, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Ron. And we'll be open again this summer, June through September, Sundays from 1 to 4. still on our docket and still on our plan. That's our staple. And the newsletter, the January edition, I need to tell you, is going to be probably, it's not only drafted, it's ready to go. Probably this next week, we'll be putting it together as far as mailing, which would be early for us because I usually do the end of the month, and we have it ready to go. And to support the Historical Society, a simple way to do it is 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1. Send a monetary support, and we'll be very appreciative. $10 will get you a membership, and we'll send you that January newsletter. And in our promotion, if you join right now, you're going to get 5 editions, not just 3, because we'll send you January, and we'll send you April, and you're a member for 2022 to 2023. So your $10 will get you 5 issues, not just 3. And some people have taken advantage of it from our October issue. We had it as a Christmas promotion. Remember, the directors put up with me that you could send a gift to someone, gift it to someone, give it in the name of or a friend or a family member or maybe the neighbor. And if you send $10, we'll send them those 5 issues. And hopefully they'll continue on, not just support us once, but continue on as a member for us. That would be even better.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for being here today.
Pleasure. It's always a pleasure, Ron.
And thank you for being here each week in the coming year or on a regular basis.
Thank you as well, Ron. Yeah. We have something new coming. I'll let you take care of that.
Well, we're looking forward to it. So we'll be able to share some good history and we hope create some conversation. And I think in many ways as a parting thought, Ken, that history gives us a chance maybe to take our mind away from some of all the divisiveness that we see today. Let's go back and learn about our history and appreciate how people dealt with the circumstances that they faced.
It's therapeutic.
I think it is. Yeah, indeed. Good to see you.
Great to see you.
Well, and again, we'll be talking more, so I hope that you'll stay with us. That's today's morning show on WRCU-FM. Best wishes for a good Tuesday.